In the name of the risen Christ, amen. I don't know if you noticed it just now, but there is a glaring mistake in today's gospel reading. Not a factual or theological mistake, but an error in judgment. After the female followers of Jesus had gone to his tomb and found it empty, and been told by what seemed to be angels that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they went back and told the disciples. Now, these were trustworthy women who had been followers of Jesus together with the 12 disciples from the early days. And they all agreed on what they had seen. And yet none of the disciples trusted them. Luke's gospel says these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Now who knows, perhaps the disciples didn't trust them because they were women. Only Peter came anything close to trusting them, deciding he'd go to the tomb to check things out for himself. On the very same day, though, on the road to Emmaus, a town 7 miles from Jerusalem, some of the disciples encountered the risen Christ. And once they saw Christ for themselves, they believed, whereas they hadn't trusted the women who had been at the empty tomb earlier in the day. Being able to trust someone is about as vital to living a good life as it gets. That's why someone meeting with a priest in confession or a doctor or a psychologist in her office must be able to trust that professional and trust that what they say will be held in confidence. Otherwise, the whole point of the connection is lost. In schools and community organizations, activities meant to encourage leadership development often use trust games, because organizations whose leaders cannot trust each other will never flourish. In fact, just about every aspect of human life you can think of, trust is indispensable. That's why the two angels at the empty tomb tell the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Remember how Jesus told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and crucified, and on the third day rise again." In other words, trust what Jesus told you. But the disciples didn't believe the women at the tomb because they didn't think that what they were saying, or even what Jesus had said back in Galilee about being raised from the dead, was possible. Couldn't imagine it. They didn't think it possible, so they didn't trust him. And they didn't trust the women who'd been at the empty tomb. But here's the ultimate message of the Easter day, and perhaps the Christian faith in total. With God, all things are possible. Those are the words Jesus tells his disciples in chapter 19 of Matthew's gospel. With God, all things are possible. The resurrection tells us not just that new life is possible for the crucified Jesus, but that new life is possible everywhere, and that we should trust in Christ when he tells us that with God, all things are possible. When I went off to college in 1987, I decided, for some inexplicable reason, to study Russian and Eastern European politics and history. By my senior year, at the height of glasnost and perestroika, some of you remember those terms, it's sort of retro now, my professor was at a total loss about what to tell us. I remember her saying, "I've been teaching Eastern European politics for 20 years and it never changed. Now it changes every week." Poor lady. In November of 1989, the Berlin Wall fell. But the toppling of that wall actually began hundreds of miles away in a church in Leipzig, where months earlier, demonstrations for democracy had grown out of a Monday evening prayer service at St. Nicholas Church. that the pastor had begun years earlier to protest the Cold War. Hundreds of miles away, at the Reformed Church in Timișoara, Romania, that church's pastor preached against the Ceausescu dictatorship in that country and was ordered by the authorities to leave his church. He refused. His parishioners rallied to his side and kept a vigil outside his apartment to prevent his arrest. I know you would all do the same for me. Within days, the vigil had turned into a mass demonstration with people singing hymns and protest songs. And by the end of the month, the communist regime of Nicolae Ceausescu had been toppled, all starting from one obstinate Christian pastor in a provincial town. Would that pastor in Leipzig have thought that prayers would topple the Iron Curtain? Did the pastor in little old Timișoara think his preaching would bring about the end of the most vicious post-war regime in Europe? In both cases, probably not. But they trusted Jesus when he says, "Follow me," and with God, all things are possible. They trusted that in following Jesus, he would be with them, that their cause would be vindicated. So they followed him. And unimaginable things not only became possible, but real. Eastern Europe was finally free. Those pastors decided to trust in Jesus no matter what the consequences, and they were blessed to see change in their own lifetimes. Many saints and martyrs over the centuries have had to wait to the next life to receive their reward. In either case, their struggle on behalf of God's people was not in vain. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake," Jesus says, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In the case of the tumbling down of the Iron Curtain, in the case of the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years earlier, in many cases in our own lives, what counts is not so much what we believe, but whom we trust. We who are gathered here today on this most sacred day of the Christian year, trust in Christ. Because as Peter tells Jesus, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." In other words, we have come to trust you, and we will trust you to the end. We come here today not simply because we believe everything the church tells us about Jesus, but because we trust Jesus when he tells us about himself and about ourselves. Because not only does Jesus tell his followers that he will be raised on the third day, on this day, but Jesus points the way forward to new life for us as well. We may not always know what to think or believe every minute of the day, but we always know whom to trust. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten,
God from God,
true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. The Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We look for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
They may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
That was pretty good. Welcome to Grace Church. My name is Jonathan Hike. I'm the rector of the parish, and it's my joy and privilege to welcome you here this morning. If you are new to us, and a few of you may be, I invite you to fill out one of the welcome cards in the pew in front of you and place it in the collection plate as it goes by, or also hand it to one of the ushers or even to me after the service. I also invite you to visit our welcome table in the back of the church after worship today so you can learn a little bit more about this very special parish. And also, please join us after worship for coffee hour, conveniently located right in the back of the church. Now, if you have young kids, kids say up to age 10, please join us for a special Easter reception after worship today, followed by an Easter egg hunt. And that gathering is just in the Chafee Room. It's just up these stairs, through the door, and up six more stairs, a ton of stairs in this building. I can't count them all, but someday maybe I will. So if you have young children, please join us, not for very long, but for just a chance to celebrate this special day together. After worship today, we have these beautiful lilies here, and you're welcome to take one of them as you go out into your day. If you know someone who, because of age or infirmity or what have you, could not be at church this morning, you would like to bring them a lily, please do take one of them and share the joy of this day with your friends and loved ones. We will be singing the Alleluia chorus in just a minute. If you would like to sing along and don't have it memorized, just put up your hand. We have musical scores. The ushers will be happy to pass out some of those scores for you to sing along to the Alleluia chorus. It is traditional to stand for the Alleluia chorus, so I invite you to do so as you are able. If you do take a score, don't take it home with you. because we do this every year. So please turn it back in at the end of the service. That would be greatly appreciated. One final announcement. Next week, the Sunday Forum will be an inquirer's class for the following 6 weeks. So if you're interested in learning more about the Episcopal Church and the Christian faith as we live it in the Anglican tradition, you're welcome to join us for the following 6 weeks at 9 a.m., also in the Chafee Room here at Grace Church. And now ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts. Thank you.
the Eucharist that follows, our tradition in the Episcopal Church is to place one hand over the other and receive the wafer. And then when the chalice comes by, you can either drink from the chalice or lightly touch the wafer to the wine. If you'd rather not receive the sacrament, simply cross your arms over your chest and a priest will pronounce a blessing over you. We also have a standing station for communion. If you'd rather not navigate these marble stairs, that standing station will be at the base of the pulpit.
Up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn, to proclaim the glory of your name.
Hosanna in the highest.
holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself, in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ was raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.